Welcome to another life-changing teaching by Jerry Dierman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. For more information about Pastor Jerry's teaching and ministry, please visit jerrydierman.com.
I believe this is a word absolutely that will change you forever, and I believe you'll catch it today. Let me tell you that my wife is in Minnesota. She was doing a conference there, and she said the power of the Holy Spirit was so strong and did so many things, and she said it just keeps seeming to get stronger and stronger. But when she got there, it was 7 below zero. And so she got, you know how she is though. She likes the cold, which is different than the one she's married to. And so she got in the room. Well, you know, when it's that cold, they automatically have some heat on in the room so that it's not freezing in there. Well, she, as soon as she walked in, what's that? You know, turned the air conditioning on all night. So she was trying to get it down to 7 below in the room. I'm glad I wasn't on that trip. She is quite the character. Somebody says, don't you feel like a wimp? Well, I don't think I should be intimidated by her animalistic qualities. Do you? I mean, that's out in the jungle stuff. Man, I'm telling you, I was born indoors. Thank God. No, she is quite the lady, and I miss her, and she'll be back tonight. Galatians chapter 6. I want us to turn there and read verses 7 through 9 out loud together. I'm reading, as usual, from the New King James Version. If you have a different translation, that's okay. We like a number of them. There are a lot of good ones out there. But for the sake of reading aloud together, follow along on the screen so we can all read the same words. Galatians chapter 6, let's read all together verses 7 through 9, reading loudly and together. Let's read. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, we've been talking about this. This is the third week of this study. Let me tell you a powerful, powerful truth that affects every area of life. If you can capture this truth about reaping and sowing and understand it in a, not just in a natural sense, but understand it from a spiritual perspective, then you will begin to sow a whole different way. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about planting a more fruitful life. The life that we have right now, the Bible says, is a life that we've reaped based on how we've planted. It's not a life that had just come, that has just come to us by fate or by some form of determinism, predestination. There's nothing we can do about it. The Bible says, no, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So God says we can determine what things will come about in our lives by what we reap. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have environment and conditions to work through. We do. We have to work through our raising. All of us do. We have to work through those things that have been put in our minds. We have to work through the environment that we are in, the obstacles, the challenges that we face. And we all have different ones. There's no doubt that we all have a little different road to walk. But the Word says, but don't be deceived by all that and think that there's nothing that you can do, because it's what you sow that you'll reap. And that's what God wants us to pay attention to. What can you do and what can you adjust? Now, a lot of people think, you know, you can skate through and trick the system. You know, I mean, you can somehow manipulate things to where you can sow but not reap it, or you can not sow and reap something. I like the guy. I got to tell you about this guy from Texas. This guy from Texas had some guy, other guy that owed him some money. And so the guy came and shelled him out a bunch of cash to pay him the money. And this Texan wasn't paying attention. And after he got back home and he got to looking at what the guy gave him, he realized the guy had given him some counterfeit bills. In fact, a whole bunch of counterfeit $15 bills. And he felt so stupid. I can't believe I let this guy shell out some $15 bills to me. Look at that, you know. So he thought, what should I do? If I call the police, first of all, I'm going to look stupid to them. They're going to say, why'd you take that? And I'm going to say, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention, right? And he said, plus, I'll never get my money back. So he thought, you know what? I know what I'll do. If there's anybody dumb enough to take a $15 bill, it'll be those boys over in Arkansas. So he said, I'm going across the state line. So he drove across the state line, went out into the sticks, into the boonies, got into this town and went into this little general store. And he thought, all right, here goes nothing. And he walks up to the clerk and he says, hey, do you have change for a $15 bill? And the clerk said, $15 bill? I sure do. Yep, open the cash register, takes the 15, and sure enough, he's got a slot in there full of $15 bills. The guy couldn't believe it. He reached in his pocket. He's going to get the rest of them out. And the clerk throws it in there, looks up and says, now, wait a minute. Now, do you want an 8 and a 7 or 2 6s and a 3? You know, we think sometimes we're going to skate by the system. Somehow we're going to get around, and what other people reap, we don't have to reap. We're going to pass that along. No, that's not the way it is. God said, don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, that you're going to reap. That you're going to reap. I remember I had a friend when I was in high school. We played football together. And he had a good job for a high schooler. He ended up getting a job at a grocery store. And he was a clerk. And he was making really good money. He drove a Camaro. That was back in the days when most students didn't have a car. Nowadays, I'm telling you, high schools are packed out with cars. I mean, it seems like most people have cars now, but back then he was one of those cool guys, drove his Camaro in, and everybody thought, man, he's just got it together. He's always got money. I mean, had this good job. I remember I went into the store, though. He worked at Alpha Beta. Anybody remember Alpha Beta? He worked at Alpha Beta. And I walked back to the back of the store, and there he was, you know, working on the cheese, you know, stocking or facing the cheese. They call it facing, you know, you make it all look full even though it's not. And he goes, hey, what's up, Jerry? He goes, hey, come through my line, $3. And I wasn't catching what he was talking about. But when I got up to the front, I went to his line. Well, I had about $15 or $16 worth of goods, and he punched it all in, $3. $3, gee, $3. And all right, dude, see ya. You know what? I thought, he just stole from the company and made me the guy that he stole for. And I thought, man, I've always looked at him and thought, he's so cool. This guy's so on top of it. Look at him. We looked up to him. You know, it wasn't long till he got fired. Guess what for? Stealing. Would you believe it? Stealing. But see, it caught up with him, didn't it? But let me ask you, this is what I want to talk to you about today. What about the people that don't get caught? How many of you know there are a lot of people that do things like that and they don't get caught? Is that right? And we hear about them, we look at them, and their life seems like it's going along good. And they've figured out how not to get caught or not to reap what they've sown, it seems. But I want you to understand something in this verse, that what I'm talking to you about today was not in the original study that I did to prepare for this. This is something since last week the Lord said, no, look at this. I want you to see this. Now notice again in verse 7. Of Galatians 6, we've been camping on this verse, haven't really touched too much on the other ones. But verse 7 says, do not be deceived. You know, the one thing about deception is you never know you are. Right? You think, you're convinced you're not. Until you get out of it, then you look back and you think, I was so deceived. I bought into that. God says, do not be deceived. Notice this, God is not mocked for whatever. Say whatever. Whatever. Now, in years past, as I've taught this, when I'd get to the word whatever, I would talk about the scope of what whatever means, the scope. You know, in the natural sense, you plant tomato seeds and you harvest tomatoes, right? And you plant corn and you harvest corn, okay? In spiritual things, if you are angry and cutting with your words and putting people down, what are you going to start getting back from people? You're going to get that bitterness and sharp-tongued attitude back, because that's what you're spewing out to other people. Okay? And if you're putting out love and encouragement and gentleness, you're going to start reaping people doing that to you. So I would talk about the scope of whatever it is. Whatever you sow, that's what you'll reap. But the Lord opened my eyes to a little different way of looking at that doesn't invalidate the other way, but it just helps us to know that that whatever word not only goes far in breadth, but it goes deep. See, it says God is not mocked for whatever. God is not mocked for whatever. You know what that means? That means that that includes things that nobody sees but God. See, a lot of times we get caught up thinking that, well, if nobody saw it, if nobody heard me say it, if I never got caught, see, then I won't reap it. It won't cost me, see, because nobody caught me. And look, I'm years down the line and it'll never be found out. And so we think that we won't reap it. But here, God is saying, do not be deceived, because God is not mocked. What does that mean? God's the overseer of the harvest. And God says, I will make sure that everything you sow, you will reap. How many of you know that that can work to our advantage or disadvantage? Isn't that right? So this is what the Lord put on my heart to talk about today and to study from the Word. God sees. God sees. God sees. Listen to Proverbs chapter 5, beginning at the 21st verse. It says, for the ways of man are before, listen to these five words, the eyes of the Lord. Did you know God has eyes? The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He, God, ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. See, it says, everything we do is before the eyes of the Lord. Everything. Everything. God looks at everything. And so when we're talking about whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap, God is trying to help us to understand, listen, it's whatever, everything, not just the things that people see. I mean, if we cheat on our taxes and we don't get audited and we go ahead and get that tax break, how many of you know, you think you're not going to reap that? Isn't it funny how we think, well, because the government didn't find out, then I don't have to reap that lie that I told. But listen to what God says. God's not mocked. God is not mocked. Whatever. Say whatever. Whatever a man sows, that he is going to reap. He will also reap. That he will also reap. Whatever. Whatever. You know, some people call themselves tithers, but they don't tithe the way God said to tithe. Because God sees what they decide to tithe on and what they decide not to tithe on and how they decide to tithe. And I remember God took that seriously. You remember Ananias and Sapphira came to Peter, Ananias first, and he said, yeah, we sold this land and we just want to give it all to the ministry, the whole thing, all the profit, we just want to give it all. And Peter said, how is it that, these are my words, how is it that you have the audacity to test the Spirit of God? You haven't lied to men, but to God. Isn't that what he said? You didn't lie to men, but you lied to God. How is it that you would test the Spirit? How many of you know the Holy Spirit passed the test? Because Ananias dropped dead right there. Not because he didn't give it all, but because he lied about it. Why? Because God saw that, didn't he? Peter didn't see it. He had no clue. But the Spirit inside of Peter told him, he's lying. He's lying. And Peter didn't even say, I'm going to kill you. No. Peter said, how is it that you decided to test the Spirit of God? To lie. You didn't lie to men, but to God. Man, that guy dropped down dead. And so they just drug him out and buried him. His wife comes in, didn't even know he was dead. And Peter said, come here. Come here. Tell me. How much did you sell? See, they said that what they were bringing was the whole profit of the land that they got for that land. He said, how much did you sell the land for? And she lied too. They'd made an agreement to get their story right. And he said, how is it that you agreed with your husband to lie? He said, look, the guys that just buried your husband just came back, and they're going to carry you out. And she dropped down dead. Now listen, it wasn't because they didn't give all the profit. God never told them they had to. It was because they lied about it, and nobody knew it but God. But God knew. Is that right? God knew. And so see, we rip ourselves off when we do that. When we think I can make it look good in front of people, I can talk the talk, but I don't walk the walk, but God sees. And so we wonder sometimes why we're not reaping the harvest. Well, it's because we're not really sowing right. We're not really doing it the way that we know we're supposed to do it. And if we stop and check ourselves, we know, and God knows. And God says, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you that you could be a whole lot more blessed, but you're not planting right. You're not being honest. You're not being upfront. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4, the 13th verse. It says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Notice it says we all have to give an account. And it says he sees everything. Everything is naked, open. There's no covering. You can't cover it. Everything is naked and open to the eyes to whom we must give account. Everything. You know, I mean, when you begin to understand that God is watching all the time, things that used to be okay are not okay anymore. I mean, you're coming down the freeway and you get a call from your spouse. That dreaded call. Really, the dreaded one is when you're still at work. Are you coming home yet? Oh, just got a little bit. How long will it take? That's a deadly question right there. Don't answer that unless you have to. Because you know you're going to lie like a big dog. Trying to please on the phone, you're going to pay later because you lied. So boy, especially if you're bad like me at thinking I can get it done in 10 minutes. And it's only 40. Minimum, right? I thought I could get it done. I didn't realize the interruptions and how long it was going to take. See? So you're on your way home and you get the call. Where are you? And you look up and you see the sign. So they say you're on the 57. Imperial. Right here at Imperial. But it says Imperial, 4 miles. What's that called? That's a lie. What if you don't get caught? That's what I'm trying to tell you. God says, you always get caught. You always get caught because God sees. See, and we want the Lord to bless us. We want the favor of God, the blessing of God. And yet we continue to compromise. With one hand, we're obedient to God and saying, yes, God, I want to do right. With the other hand, we're disobedient. But since nobody saw the other hand, we think, then we don't have to reap that. And God says, do not be deceived, because God is not mocked. And whatever a man sows, you mean all that factors in? All that factors in. Everything. Or you leave really late to get somewhere and you knew you had to be there and you just left really late, but you just happened to catch a little traffic and you're excited about that because, see, now you've got an excuse. But you know the traffic was not the problem. But when you get there, oh man, I'm sorry, the traffic was horrible. Right? And it seems so little, so subtle. But the bottom line is that it's a partial truth, which means it's a partial lie. And God sees. And God says, you reap what you sow. God, it's not going to hurt anybody. They didn't know. It's not going to hurt them. But see, we live open before the Lord. And if we want the Lord to bless us and trust us, then how can we be lying and not being honest and then expect the Lord to bless us as if we're integrous and honest before Him? See? And this is what He's trying to tell us. So many of us are discouraged at the amount of harvest that we've reaped. And the Bible talks about these good blessings of the Lord and they're not coming to pass. And we think, now wait a minute, I'm doing my part. And we just try to connect it to one way that we're sowing. But we're not looking at the whole package and the whole picture. And God says, no, no. I'm looking at everything. Everything, every part of your life is important. We were reading this week in the book of Genesis, for those of you that are reading with me, on the 4-chapter-a-day average, where we read the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in Genesis chapter 17, now Abraham's 99 years old. And I know that's old, but considering that he lived to 175, you know, he's like middle age, right? I mean, he's 99 years old. And the Lord said this to him in Genesis 17, 1 and 2. He said, I am Almighty God. Now listen, walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. And let me tell you what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that God just showed up on the earth for a while and said, come on, I want to see you. Walk before me. Come on, let me see you walk. This isn't an officer, you know, that stops some guy that he thinks may be drunk, says, come on, let me see you walk a straight line. No, God in heaven is saying, Abraham, you're down here on the earth, but instead of walking and pursuing your life in the eyes of people, walk in front of my eyes and be blameless. Walk before me. Handle the affairs of life before me and be blameless. In other words, that's an awareness of the presence of God. It's an awareness that God is with you all the time. And so you live and perform for an audience of one. How many of you know that's a higher standard? Isn't that right? That's a higher standard. So we got to chapter 24, and this is where Abraham sent his servant, probably Eliezer, sent his servant back to his family, his distant relatives. They were quite a distance from him, but they were nevertheless his family, to get a wife for his son Isaac. And so this servant went out and met Rebekah at a well and had prayed and such. Well, when Abraham was instructing the servant, saying, I want you to go to my family and get a wife for my son Isaac. Do not take a wife from the Canaanites. Go back to my family and take a wife for him. And this servant said, Lord, what if they won't give her to me? I mean, it's a long distance. What if she won't come, and what if they won't give her to me? And so the servant is telling this story, and listen to what he said in chapter 24, the 40th verse. The servant says, but he, Abraham, said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. Now listen, this is years later. I mean years later. Somewhere between, 15 years and maybe 25 years. 15 to 25 years after God said, walk before me. Here's Abraham, and he says to his servant, don't worry about her not coming. The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. See, Abraham has this awareness that I live my life, and though I can't see God with my eyes, I know he's watching everything. And so I walk before him. I walk in such a way to please him. And so he says, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel and will prosper your way. Let me tell you, you can expect the blessing of God. You can expect the leading, the provision, the promises of God to come to pass in you, in your life, if you'll walk before the Lord. But it's a higher standard. But if you choose to only buy into thinking you'll reap what you sow in front of people, where people catch you, then you'll constantly be disappointed. Constantly. I believe most Christians do not walk with an awareness of the manifest, the abiding presence of the Lord. We've fallen into the ways of the world that out of sight, out of mind, as long as nobody sees me. And so many people compromise. They fudge behind closed doors. You know what I mean by fudge, right? They fudge. They compromise because they think nobody knows. Many ministers have, even in their ministry, though they love God and they believe His Word, yet when it comes to ministry, they don't realize how much of their ministry effectiveness is based on the behind closed doors that nobody sees. They feel like they've slipped into like a normal business or a normal corporation where it's whatever you tell the stockholders. It's whatever you put out there. It's whatever information they have. That's what makes the company or breaks it. Not realizing that that's not the way it is. God sees. And if we want the hand of God on us, if we want the blessing of God, God's not going to bless somebody that is duplistic. Somebody that says one thing, but behind the scenes, they live a little different life. Even if it's not drastically different, but it's just somewhat different, it's still duplicity. It's still a lie, and we're still planting in two fields. We're double-minded. And the Bible says double-minded people are unstable in all their ways. I know that Kimberly and I, the Lord has, years ago, dealt with us and challenged us about how we talk. Listen, not just in front of people. I mean, when we're at home, when nobody's around, and in conversation, just between the two of us, somebody's name will pop up. There may be an opportunity to point out weaknesses and to demean and belittle. And nobody's there to listen except God. See, and somehow we get the idea that we can get behind the scenes, and as long as nobody's going to hear and this, nobody's going to hear that I said this, then I can kind of say what I want to, give my opinion, release those words of poison, not remembering that the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when we're behind the scenes and we think nobody's hearing what I'm saying, and here we are releasing this poison about people, saying these things, and because they'll never hear us, we think it's okay. And God's watching, and God's wondering why we would think that He would promote us to a higher level of influence, promote us to a higher level of ministry, when He knows, why would I promote that? Why would I want that to be more widespread? And people think, well, no, if I had that other level, then I wouldn't act like this. No, that's not true. The Bible says, if you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful with much. But if you're unfaithful in that which is little, then you're going to be unfaithful in much, because you're the same person. And if you compromise now, you'll compromise then. And God says, no, you're not going to reap the harvest that you want, because you're not sowing, you're not being faithful behind the scenes. See, the Word of God is true. And we have to take it seriously, not just act like we take it seriously, but really take it seriously from the heart. That's the fear of the Lord. God sees, and I have to please Him at all times. At all times, God's watching. I know that people sometimes get bitter at a boss, bitter at a leader because they didn't promote me. It's because they don't like me, or it's because of their pride. They know that I am smarter than them. I'm sharper than them. I'd outdo them. I'd show them up. Look at them. Oh, yeah. They're just doing. And we become bitter. As if that person is in control of our life. Not realizing that God's in control of that person. And the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And we're wondering, well, why didn't that person change? Why hasn't God changed them? Well, maybe because God sees everything. That's why. Is that right? And see, we're only factoring in what that person has seen and what I've done in front of them. And God sees the way I talked about them behind their back. See, we need to make a choice as to whether we're going to operate the system of believing God and standing on His Word and receiving the blessing from God, or whether we're going to work the world system. Where, you're going to take what you can get and you're going to look nice on the outside. Hey, good to see you. Good to see you, jerk. Right? Is that the world system? Right? You got to put your best foot forward, fake it till you make it. And there are all these shortcuts that you have because when you got to be nice and you're going to the function where everybody's there and you're saying all the way there, I hate these things. I hate these things. I hate going in there with all these people. I don't even like to be with them. And you're like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? And see, God sees all that. And somehow we want to be trusted by people, but we're not trustworthy because we're not up front. We're not honest. We've fallen and slipped into the world's way of doing things. And God says, do not be deceived, because God's the overseer of the harvest. And he's not mocked. And whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. We read yesterday in Psalm 7, those of you that are reading that Old Testament with me. And Psalm 7 is where David comes before the Lord and says, Lord, if I have done this, if I have committed the blood, if I have been bloodthirsty, and if I have plundered my enemy without cause. Well, if you stop and find out when that was that he said that, you'll trace it back to 2 Samuel 16, where a bitter man from the house of Saul named Shimei was so angry at David that he was standing a distance away from him, picking up rocks, cursing David, and throwing stones at him. And this was all happening about the time that David's son Absalom was trying to kill him and take the throne. And so you can see the turmoil going on in David's heart already with his son, his own son trying to kill him, ran him out of town. And here he is, he's in turmoil, he's frustrated, and then you got this dork over here throwing rocks at me and cursing me. Let me tell you something. David's men were standing right there. You want us to take him out? You want us to take him out? I want you to listen and watch what David did. David could have said one word, and within 2 minutes, that guy would have been dead. One word. You can imagine what he was going through at that time. And for somebody to curse him, you bloodthirsty man, that's all you do is kill people. You don't care about anybody but yourself. Throwing rocks at him and just cussing. And in Psalm 7, David comes before the Lord. And he says, God, if I've done that, Lord, then let my enemies overtake me. Listen, there's a humility with integrity. Where when somebody comes and they make an accusation, even if they've got a bad attitude, that you want to stop and say, Lord, did I do it? I didn't realize it if I did, but if I did, Lord, let me reap the harvest, because I don't want to be like that. And it makes you realize why the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. Because he didn't use the power that he had to eliminate those who criticized him, but he wanted to make sure, is the integrity of my heart right? Have I possibly used my power as king to take advantage of my enemy? In other words, somebody being my enemy is not a good enough reason for me to take advantage of them and plunder them. I have to be right before the Lord, see? Because God sees. You want to know why God blessed David so much? That's why. That's why. Because he walked before the Lord. It wasn't just, I can take you out. Yeah, he could have. But he can't take God out. And it's God that he has to please. See? Well, let me tell you, it's not only that God sees the stuff we do wrong, but let me tell you, there's a flip side to this, and that is that God rewards the things that we do right. When we bring our hearts to God and nobody sees it, God sees. Is that right? When nobody sees the effort we put in, when nobody sees that we love God, and behind the scenes we come and say, Lord, help me, I'm not making it, or I need your help. Nobody sees that. They judge you by your actions, but God sees your heart, doesn't he? He sees that, see? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 3. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. Your Father, who sees in secret, will himself. What does that mean? Don't worry about your boss. Don't worry about your spouse. Don't worry about people. When God sees in secret, he himself will reward you openly. Is that what it says? See? See, this is what God is trying to show us. God's trying to say, it's whatever you sow, not just the stuff that people notice, Not just the stuff that you think you'll get some kudos or some affirmation for, but God is saying, I notice what you're doing. And if they don't give you any kudos, if they don't give you any esteem, if they don't give you any respect or any blessing, I will give it to you. Isn't that right? Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But notice what Jesus said. Don't flaunt it in front of everybody. You just do it as unto the Lord. A lot of times we have an opportunity to do something as unto the Lord that nobody's going to see. But if we make a slight adjustment, more people will see it. And Jesus said, when you do that, and people saw it, and they thought well of you, that was your reward. And you're thinking, no, I don't want that to be the reward. Yes, you did. You wanted them to see it and for them to think you're cool. You're giving, you're loving, you're nice. And so you did, and they thought it, that's your reward. He said, but if you'll do it in secret, if you just do it as unto the Lord, your Father will reward you openly. Isn't that right? Listen to 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God is looking for people that don't just look good on the outside, but their heart is loyal to him. And behind the scenes, he sees their opportunity to fudge and them not fudge. And God says, I'm looking to show myself strong on behalf of those kinds of people. Nobody knows about it. Nobody knows about it. I remember I was years ago working at Stater Brothers Market as a clerk, and one of the negatives to all the technology, computer systems and such is your brain doesn't work anymore. You just let the computers do their job. And so I was ringing some people up, and some guy bought some things, and he handed me a 20, and I accidentally punched in an extra zero, so the computer thought it said $200. Well, me, without thinking at all, look up there, and it says to give him whatever, 180-something or 190-something dollars, and I'm just so used to bam, 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 brrr. Yeah, I'm trying to get out of that check stand and get back to my work. And I got to the next person, and it hit me what I did. Oh. And not only did I feel stupid, but I felt responsible. So I said, hold on just a minute. And I ran outside. He was gone. Whew. I mean, he was gone quick. So I cursed him. No, I didn't. Well, so I came back in, and my mind thought, my mind began to process this and take it down the line as to what's about to happen. And my mind came up with this thought. I know that at least 3 different checkers have used this till today. They'll never know which one of us it was. They'll never be able to find out. They just know that sometime during the day, it was off by this much. I mean, $190 back in those days was a lot of money. But by that time, God had already gotten a hold of my heart, and I was walking before the Lord. There was no option. None. I think worse than the $190 was the embarrassment of having to go and tell them what I did, and for people to look at me and say, that was stupid. Yeah, I know. But I went right to my manager, and I said, hey, I just did something stupid. I just wasn't paying attention. I rang in $200. I gave this guy a lot of money. So the till's probably going to come out around $190 short. Let me know what it is. And when I get paid, I'll pay you the money. Okay. They added it up. They told me how much it was. It was right there, about $190. When I got my check that week, went right over and cashed it in the store. Went right to the manager and counted it all out. I see some people say, why'd you do that? You wouldn't have gotten caught. Yeah, I would have. See, if you believe, then you know. But let me tell you something else. I had the most favor with my boss. I mean, the most favor. While other checkers, during the hard times, they were getting 15, 18 hours a week of work. I was getting my 36, 37. part-time, right? So you can't get 40. But I mean, they were pushing the line with me, giving me all the hours that I wanted. Plus, I needed every Wednesday off because I was the volunteer junior high pastor at my church. I needed Sunday mornings off, and I needed activity time, so I'd have to go in and say, hey, I got these activities going, so I'm going to need this, this, and this. And I would always get my time off work. And it made those other checkers so mad that I was getting all these hours and all the flexibility right along with it. But let me tell you, God saw. And they couldn't figure out, what is going on? What is going on? Kiss up. Nope. Not a kiss up. Kissing up to him. You understand? See, let me tell you, God sees that stuff. But sometimes we don't realize. We think we can fudge back here and still reap the harvest and the blessings. No. No, God says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. I remember when I got hired at the church, all the young guys that got hired at this church that I was at, they all got hired into facilities. And I got hired to be the youth pastor. And I skipped the facilities. Now, we all worked at maintenance and clean toilets, and everybody did that. That wasn't a big deal. But my job description wasn't to do that full time. My job description was to be the youth pastor. And some other guy said, what is it with you? You didn't come up through the ranks like the rest of us. But let me tell you something. When I was working night crew at Stater Brothers Market to be able to put myself into Bible college, and I'd work all night long, and at 6:30, I'd work as... Let me tell you, we had a store that didn't cut profit very much. It was struggling all the time. And so we always were understaffed. And so at night, when you have 450 cases to get up on the shelves and you got to get to school, I mean, if I had to go to the bathroom at night, I was mad. You think I'm kidding? I had to hurry to get to school. I had to go to school in Los Angeles. And so I would hustle and work. No breaks, no lunch, none. And it wasn't because they said you can't have it, but I couldn't get the work done. If I took anything, none. And then I'd go right to L.A. to go to Bible college. Let me tell you something. I didn't do that at church, but God saw. Are you listening to me? Let me tell you something. If nobody else sees, you don't have to be any concerned about it whatsoever. Well, you know, I've done all this, I'm doing all this and such, but nobody sees. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Is that right? See, you need to know that God sees it. God knows what you do. And if you'll live before the Lord, as unto the Lord all the time, then you don't ever need to worry about whether people see your good deeds. Because your Father who sees, He'll reward you. It'll come around. Is that right? You understand this? Let me tell you, God sees. Everybody say, God sees. God sees. He sees everything. Don't ever believe that anybody on the earth can limit you, hinder you, stop you from being the person God has called you to be or from the fruitfulness happening in your life. Your seeds that you plant will blow through all of that stuff. But if you're not reaping the blessings and the harvest that you thought you would, then maybe you haven't connected it to all the seeds that were planted that God saw and nobody else did. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you enjoyed this message today by Jerry Dearman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. To join Operation Solid Lives, Pastor Jerry's free discipleship program, get free teaching downloads and blog and Twitter updates, find a campus of The Rock near you, or to join the 2 Spy Club and help get this uncompromised teaching to the world, visit us at jerrydearman.com or write to Jerry Dearman Ministries, P.O. Box 4970, Anaheim, California, 92830.